Will we be man pleasers or God pleasers? And it's easy for us to go, oh, I'm going to be a God pleaser, Pastor. I'm a God pleaser. But when the rubber meets the road, are we really going to please God over man?
Pastor Ben asks that question and many more in the Building Our Foundation series, a verse-by-verse study through the Old Testament book of Ezra, here on In Christ Radio.
In Christ, I can do all things.
Last time here on In Christ, we saw the foundation laid, some rejoicing, others weeping, as God began to fulfill His promise in a way that didn't meet everyone's expectations. We continue in the Building Foundation series, a verse-by-verse study through the book of Ezra. And today we move forward into Ezra chapter 4, verses 1 through 5 with a message titled, Opposition and Compromise. As the work begins, opposition quickly follows. People from surrounding areas approach with an offer. Let us help you build. On the surface, it sounds like support, but their hearts are divided. The leaders of Israel recognize this and refuse the partnership. What follows is resistance, discouragement, and pressure. The work of God doesn't just face opposition from the outside. It's often tested by subtle compromise from within. Not every open door is from God. Sometimes faithfulness means saying no to what looks helpful in order to protect what God has called you to build. So are there areas in your life where compromise is quickly or quietly creeping in, disguised as something good, but pulling you away from what God has clearly called you to do? Let's join Pastor Ben in the book of Ezra, chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, with the lesson titled, Opposition and Compromise. Here's Pastor Ben.
We don't do that in evangelism. That's not how you win people to Jesus. I'll tell you what, come to church and we're going to talk about all the bad choices you made, and then nobody's going to come. Don't bring up my past. Don't bring up the things that I'm hurting about. Don't bring up the wounds that I have. Jesus does. But I want you to think about this. We all want to be transparent and vulnerable, but transparency is not going to bring us to be vulnerable or insecure. We'll hide that at all costs. We'll hide that at all costs. Hey, man, you need to be transparent before, oh, yeah, man, this is who I am. But deep inside, we don't want to be vulnerable and we're insecure. You don't touch a tender, hurting heart, but Jesus does. Why? Well, listen, He is going after that space that only He can heal. Jesus is going after that tender spot that she doesn't want anyone to touch, and yet it's the touch of Christ that brings healing. You guys tracking with me? He's the only one that can do this. Jesus looks at her, probably smiling. He's not intimidated by her, and He says, go call your husband. And what does she say? Notice, she's had five husbands. Five. And now she's living with a guy. You remember earlier I said some of us have made some bad choices that we're living in those choices and the enemy has us pulled in the past and the consequences of those. I want to show you something, okay? I want to show you something maybe you hadn't seen. Jesus says, go call your husband. I don't have a husband. He goes, you said right. You've had five and the guy you're living with is not your husband. Can you imagine? At this point, I'm out of the conversation. I want to go home. I just want to go home. This hurts. How does he know this? But I want to take a moment to encourage us, and I want to share three reasons that maybe, just maybe, this is why she's not married to the current guy. Just maybe. You go, okay, cool. The Bible doesn't say, but what if her husbands all died? What if her husbands all died? What if all five of them died? Then you'd be like, man, she's killing somebody. I'm telling you right now. I need to warn the other brother. You know what I'm saying? No. But let's just say that there was something tragically that happened and continued to happen in her life. And she's so scared and so hurt that she doesn't want to get married again. She's like, look, I've buried five. I can't bury six. Now, again, please understand me. The text doesn't say that. I'm just giving you a reason that maybe. Here's why. Because when you and I read John chapter 4, immediately we label her as a woman of ill repute, a woman who is scarred, a woman who's, oh, why isn't she with the rest of the crowd? I'm thinking of reasons. What if number two, she was a perpetual adulterer? She was that, and she couldn't get past her past. She couldn't get past that. Satan kept bringing up, this is who you are. You're never going to be any better than this. Just go on, go on. And she had convinced herself that's who she was. Possibly. Possibly. What if she had just made, what if she had just made some bad choices in life? At one point in her life, she compromised her beliefs and married the first guy that proposed to her, if you will. It ended in a divorce, and then it just sort of snowballed that way to the point where now she's like, we'll just live together. We'll just live together. This is why Jesus asked her, we'll call your husband. Because we know at the end of the story that God heals a heart that has been broken by life. Guys, in John chapter 4, verse 25, it says, and the woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all. That's her response. That's her response. Okay? I don't know if you know anything about deflecting, but I feel like the woman's going, you know, she's kind of deflecting. She's like, okay, when the Christ comes, when the Christ, and isn't that the case with you and I? When we get convicted, when we get blown away, when it begins to hurt, I'll tell you, I'll start talking religion. And that's what she does. And you know what Jesus does? Look at verse 26. And he said to her, I who speak to you, verse 26. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. You want a better translation? Jesus looks at the woman and says, game over. I am he. Game over, lady. It's game over. Look at verse 28. The woman left her water pot, went her way to the city and said to the men. Why did she go to the men? Well, the women weren't going to listen to her. She said to the men, come and see a man who told me all things I ever did. Could this be the Christ? And they all went out of the city and came to him. Here's the point I want to make. Okay? He's the only one who can fill our hearts with great fulfillment. And he's the only one that can heal our broken hearts. He's the only one. That's how Jesus touches that. And as we come now to the book of Ezra, back in the book of Ezra, as we come to chapter 4, we see the climate begin to change. They had this great fulfillment. We're going home, the temple. We're going to get to worship again. Are you kidding me? This is going to be so good. And as they begin to do this, church, the opposition in the work, here's what they're going to do. They're going to find opposition through compromise. Through compromise. If you're taking note, Mr. Webster defines compromise like this: to weaken a reputation or principle by accepting standards that are lower than the desirable, bring in disrepute or danger by indiscreet, foolish, or reckless behavior, cause to become vulnerable or function less effectively. To weaken. How? By reputation or principle. To weaken. The enemy of Israel wants to get them to compromise the work. And how are they going to do it? If you're taking note, they're not going to come and directly oppose them. They're going to do it by joining them. Here's why. You can infiltrate your enemy, but being among them day by day. You can get someone to slowly compromise their walk with God by walking with them in opposition. This is what they're going to do. So I'm calling this message tonight, Opposition Through Compromise. Why? Tonight we discover that Israel begins to work on rebuilding the foundation of the temple. And what happens is opposition comes. And just like in the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah began to build the walls. Do you remember this? They began to build the gates. And that's something that we can all count on. For you and I, as we walk closer to Jesus, the enemy comes out to get us to compromise our walk. Many of us in this room, many of us watching online, we've all purposed, okay, God, this is it, this is it, this is my year. We usually do it around the beginning of the year. I'm going to really get in my quiet time. I'm going to really have some time with you. I'm going to set aside in whatever hour you pick. And the moment you do that, you realize the opposition comes. The opposition comes. Let's look at Ezra chapter 4. All of that as our intro, we're going to see just five verses. Ezra chapter 4, picking it up in verse 1 and 2. Notice what it says. Now, when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the descendants of the captivity were building the temple of the Lord God of Israel, they came to Zerubbabel and to the heads of the fathers' houses and said to them, "Let us build with you, for we seek God as you do. And we have sacrificed to him since the days of Esarhaddon, the king of Assyria, who brought us here." Do you guys see that? Okay. Very important. Ezra chapter 3 ended in shouts of joy. Ezra chapter 3 ended in shouts of joy that were heard far, far away. And perhaps it was the shouts that drew the attention of the inhabitants. They're like, "Yeah, we're back. Yes." I want you to note something here. Ezra characterizes those who make offer to Judah and Benjamin, and he calls them adversaries. Adversaries. If you look up that word here in the Hebrew, it actually translates enemies. Foe, these are not your friends. Now, I want you to listen to their, why is Ezra calling them adversaries? Go back with me to verse 1. Now, when the enemies of Judah and Benjamin, notice what they did. Here's their claim. They come and they say, hey, let us build with you. Hey, we seek your God as you do. We've sacrificed to him all the way since Esarhaddon brought us here. You guys remember the king of Assyria when he destroyed the 10 northern tribes a lot earlier than when Nebuchadnezzar took these guys. He distributed his people all over. He didn't just take them out of the land. He replaced them. Hence the fact that the Jewish people didn't like Samaria because the Samaritan Jews started intermingling with the Assyrians and they started having this mixed race. This is why the woman at the well was so opposing to Jesus. So they're coming in and what are they saying? Hey, we're with you. Hey, we believe just like you do, Bernie. We believe just like you do. We're friends. He says, we worship the same God. And if you're smart, you'll realize this goes around and happens today, doesn't it? Hi, we're from, and we believe like you do. And so you'll get out your Bible and you'll say, hey, I believe in Jesus. And they go, oh, so do we. So do we. Why can't we be friends? Oh, sure, come on in. Come on in. I'll never forget when we were in Santa Fe. It was one evening and we got a knock on the door. And it was the most wonderful, loving old couple you can imagine. They were like grandma and grandpa. Oh, hi. Oh, these your kids. My girls were little and they came in and we want to talk to you. Now I was already saved. I was already working at the church. So I was like, man, come on in. This is going to be good. And they were so sweet until they opened their Bible. And then it got ugly. They actually looked at me and said, "We're not talking to you. We're talking to her." And they pointed to my wife. And I said, oh, no, 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 no. And then they closed their Bible at the end of the few minutes whenever they stayed there. And they were the sweetest couple again. It was the weirdest thing. It was spiritual. But here's the point. They're coming in and they're saying the same things. They're saying the same things. But really, what's the real story? What's the real story? Well, in order to find out what's going on here, we have to go back to 2 Kings chapter 17. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. 2 Kings 17:24 says, then the king of Assyria transported groups of people from where? Babylon, Kutath, Ava, Hamath, Saravaim, and they what? Resettled them in the towers or the towns of Samaria, replacing the people of Israel. So what did the king of Assyria do? He started to infiltrate all of these guys, Babylon, right? He took the possessions of Samaria and lived in its town. But since, look at verse 25, but since these foreign settlers did not worship the Lord when they first arrived, the Lord sent lions among them, which killed some of them. So a message was sent to the king of Assyria. The people have sent to live in the towns of Samaria do not know the religious customs of God of the land. And he sent lions among them to destroy them because they have not worshiped him correctly. The king of Samaria then commanded, send one of the exiled priests back to Samaria and let them live there and teach the new residents what? The religious customs of the God of the land. So one of the priests who had been exiled from Samaria returned to Bethel and taught the new residents how to worship the Lord. Look at verse 29. But these various groups of foreigners also continued to worship their own gods. In town after town where they lived, they placed their idol at the pagan shrines and the people of Samaria had built. This is the backstory. Can you imagine? Hey, we're going to move. We're moving to this town. And then all of a sudden you're like, well, we're not going to worship God like we used to. And then a lion comes out and eats you. I mean, that's not cool. So they freak out and they're like, okay. But again, think about this. Here's the key. Ooh, got to catch this. You ready? They claim to be Christians, and yet they still worshiped foreign gods. That is heavy. That is heavy. But the various groups of foreigners also continued to worship their own gods. There is a word called sectarianism. Sectarianism, guys, is when we pull in all the different things we like from religion and then try to make it like it's going to Golden Corral. You ever been to Golden Corral? There's some food. Oh, I like some mashed potatoes. Oh, and I like this. Oh, no, I don't like that. I don't. Who wants to eat asparagus, you know? And whatever it might be. And you're just going through and you're picking what you like and what you choose. And that's what people do even today. They'll pull a little bit from Jehovah's Witnesses. They'll pull a little bit from Roman Catholicism. They'll pull a little bit and still claim Christianity, although they're still continually to work. They're trying to have this plethora. And that's what these guys are doing. They're going, okay, we don't want to get eaten by a lion, but we still want to worship our own God. Can I just say this to you? This is what the Lord's putting on my heart right now. You ready? I think there's a lot of people. Well, let's just say the lion hypothetically represents hell. And so they go, I don't want to go to hell. I don't necessarily know Jesus, but I don't want to go to hell. So I'm going to, and they'll pray a prayer thinking that they're saved, because they're afraid of hell, not because they love Jesus. And heaven is going to be full of people who love Jesus, not people who are afraid of hell. I got saved because I was scared of going to hell. I got saved. But I needed that discipleship to tell me that I love Jesus. And again, think about that. That's what's going on here. And now the opposition is starting. Here we go. And when they came and they realized, oh, they're starting to build something, they pretended they were interested in helping rebuild the temple. They pretended. Yeah, this is going to be good. Now, according to the word of God, they were simply served the Lord to appease him and to keep him from killing them. But the context tells us they were enemies of the Lord. They were enemies of the Lord. Now, let's chat for just a moment, because I think there's a lesson that you and I can learn here. You go, okay, what is it? Well, if you're taking note, I think this is a great phrase to take. Will we be man pleasers or God pleasers? And it's easy for us to go, oh, I'm going to be a God pleaser, Pastor. I'm a God pleaser. But when the rubber meets the road, are we really going to please God over men? Over man. Think about this. What is the reality of what's happening right here in our text? The returnees, the Jewish people here, are in a vulnerable state. You guys see that? They're coming in, it's a ruins, and what they thought is, we need to make friends and influence people. This is what we need to do. This is what we need to do. What they didn't need is hostile neighbors. They didn't need to come in and be like, all right, that's it. So they're like, hey, can't we all just get along? This is good. As we see from their response, Israel evidently thinks it's more important to please God than to give in to their neighbors. This is what we can learn. Here's the point. You and I, we all face choices like this, don't we? We all face choices. Are we going to please God? Are we going to go with the flow of the people, with our coworkers, with what culture's happening? Are we going to do this? Do we compromise our principles, or do we offend people who could help us? Whose help is more valuable, man's or God's? Let that soak in for just a moment, guys. Let that saturate our minds and our hearts, and I'll tell you why. Because sometimes we will compromise our Christian principles to get what we want, thinking, oh, okay, well, this is how I need to do it. We will compromise, we will offend people. Hey, man, listen, I'll give you that promotion. You know what? Well, I can help you get up. I can help you go up in this business, in the job. You'll be vice president. But listen, here's, you know, his life is, and you're like, no, I'm not going to tell him I'm a Christian. I'm not going to tell him I'm a fully devoted follower of God. Hey, bro, what you doing on Wednesday night? I go to church. You go, what, on Wednesday? No, bro, we're going to go out. Man, it's ladies' night at the bar. Come on, let's go. No. I go to church. I'm not going to tell him that because this is my boss. I mean, I could get promoted. And again, think about this. Now, for the sake of our study, let me give you 8 quick ways that we can be God pleasers. 8 quick ways. You ready? Number one, be honest. Be honest. Be honest with yourself and with others. No matter how hard it is to face the truth, remember, the only person you're cheating is yourself. You and God are the only people that will know what really happened, so don't lie to the person who sacrificed their life for yours. Be honest. In Christ.
As we come to a close to this episode of In Christ, we're reminded that God is a restorer. He brought his people back from exile, gave them new life in the middle of ruins, and helped them rebuild the spiritual condition of the people on a foundation of grace and obedience. Ezra showed us that restoration isn't instant, and it isn't easy, but it is possible when God is at the center. He rebuilds worship before walls, hearts before homes, and obedience before blessings. Even when the work was slow and opposition was strong, God remained faithful to finish what he began. The same God who restores his people then is still at work today. No matter what feels broken, unfinished, or discouraged in your life, God's grace is enough to revive, restore, and rebuild. Join us next time as Pastor Ben continues in the Building a Foundation series from the book of Ezra. And may you continue to trust God as you return, rebuild, and lay foundations that will last.
Hey guys, Pastor Ben here. Our vision at Calvary Chapel Lubbock is we want to be a place that continually feeds and shepherds the people of God. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to In Christ Radio, and I'm praying that you were blessed and well-fed by our radio ministry, and by God's grace, this becomes one of those things that continues to build up your faith, encourages your walk with God, as well as fuel your love for Jesus. Would you consider partnering with us financially? It's actually really simple. You could either do it online at inchristradio.com. Simply hit the donate button. If sending a check is more comfortable for you, you can drop one in the mail at In Christ Radio, 4218 Boston Avenue, Lubbock, Texas, 79413. I'm praying that you would fall more deeply in love with Jesus. God bless.
If you missed any of today's show or would like to listen to it again, check out our website, inchristradio.com. There you can find a link to this show, along with this past week's episodes. There is also a link to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast with a whole library of great Bible teachings and teachers. Have a prayer request? Submit yours safely and privately at inchristradio.com. I would like to personally invite you to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and Thursdays at 12 for noonday prayer. Did you miss any information? Our website again is inchristradio.com.